Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She is a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they make a personalized USDA-approved serum to control the symptoms. At Spot Platinum, their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrate level. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Hey, Dr. Donna, how are you doing this evening?
Good, Tracy, and you?
Well, I'm embarrassed. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm really embarrassed. I didn't backslide on Teddy, take it off Teddy's weight challenge, because, you know, we're down to the last 4 pounds we were trying to get off to get him back to his two-year-old weight. I guess I got a little sloppy on measuring. I was so psyched that we went from 119.4, little by little, just as prescribed by you and Dr. Sean, 1% to 2% a week. Some weeks it was a little less. We kept on chugging, and, you know, we were going really with your thing, a quarter of a cup of this and a half a cup of that. And as he got bony, which he now is, like, it's like, wow, he looks like a real hunting dog that could, you know, be in the woods for hours. I was like just scooping the big scoop, kind of overflowing, not counting so much, and thinking, but you know, his metabolism is better and he looks great. So this is going to be all good. And between the bitter, frigid cold and the holidays, three and a half weeks went by before I went to the vet for another weigh-in. And I knew that those, at the last one I'd done, in 3 weeks he had taken off only half a pound. But that still made sense because we're down to, you know, his really totally excess body weight. Well, he'd gone up a pound. So it was like so many steps forward and for the first time a step back. Right. And I wonder if you can talk about what that phenomenon is. So he got down to 98.4. And my goal was 94.8. I know this sounds like a jumble of numbers to guys, you know, folks. But anyway, he was 94, nearly 95 pounds at 2 years old. And that was my goal. And I saw the goal line. It was like the 26-mile marathon. I'm like almost there. And well, I let up a little.
I do want to make a couple comments. Okay. So to start with, you know, we always talk about ideal body weight is probably close to the two-year age.
Right.
But it's not necessarily, because we've also talked about we see an increased amount of obesity in young humans and young cats as well. So it's not always the ideal for sure. But then there's also the factor of, you know, I'm 41 and my ideal weight when I was 21. I mean, am I ever really truly going to get back there? I mean, the body does change. You have a different amount of muscle and a different amount of, you know, organ weight is different and all these other things. And so, you know, and you have just recently sent me pictures of Teddy. And
oh, yeah. I'd like you to have everyone comment on that because it was so funny. Because I was always saying, you know, he didn't really look fat. He just was, he looked like a muscular big dog. I never thought he was fat. And you were like, really?
I'll tell you, when I got the pictures, I was like, wow, what a chub. I mean, he was actually really heavy. So,
yeah, you called him a chunk. And I'm like, it didn't seem like that to me. I was also kind of liberally inventing what that waistline issue was. Because if you looked at him from above, it did indent, just not as much as it should have.
Right. And so, you know, the point being, when you have a middle-aged or older dog, you know, are we, you know, I think it's good to have goals, but it's important to constantly sort of reassess and say, is 98 pounds his good weight? Maybe 94
right.
isn't his ideal weight. Maybe
right.
it is 97 or 98, and he's happy now with that. It's easier on his joints. He's, you know, his body, for his body shape and frame. And let's just be honest, as dogs get older, you know, sometimes, you know, we obviously have other things coming down the pike. Maybe he's going to develop some sort of disease and he needs that one extra pound that to give us a little leeway if he starts having a problem with weight loss. You know, I mean,
funny you should say that, because I was thinking that about my old guy, Scooby, who's thin. I mean, really, you can touch his bones, you can see his bones. And I thought, well, his arthritis is so horrific. And he's, you know, on all these drugs. We're going to be talking about more pain next week. And I thought, should I get him even thinner? And that same thought crossed my mind. I thought,
right.
you know, it's really cold out. And what if he developed, he had a little bit of a snotty nose. I thought, what if he got sick? Is an older dog
right.
like a little baby, where that extra fat is essential to them if they go through a period where they can't eat?
Yeah, I mean, a little. You know, we don't want to...
No, I know. Let's not get carried away.
We don't want to talk ourselves into 15 to 20% extra weight.
Right.
But, you know, when we're looking at Teddy and thinking, you know, the difference between maybe 94 and 97, you know, with his age tacked on, that, yes, that may be an absolutely fine weight. And that's where we do want to incorporate. That's why, you know, rechecking at the vet and getting the weigh-ins and saying, wow, this looks really good for him right now versus, no, we still have a couple pounds.
Right.
To...
And so, in fact, our Fritz, who is our Halo Healthy Weight Challenge, who we're going to talk about this week, he was 2 years old when he packed on 9 pounds
right.
during his second year of life. So, wow, that's obviously an important age
right.
that things
right.
happen.
It is. And, you know, so there's that element of maybe we aren't going to quite get back where we initially thought we would. But when I saw the pictures of Teddy, I thought he looked really amazing. So that is
now
great.
You mean?
Yes. Now at his, you know, and that was about 98 pounds.
Okay. Probably. So let's get back to the psychology, which we've talked
right.
about before, and how dogs handle the reduction in calories. So when I suddenly had this depressing visit to the vet, I'm like, oh, that scale's broken again, you
right.
know, as opposed to the times when his weight was going down. I'm going, I love this scale. And I know with Weight Watchers and so forth, you've been there. And certainly we women remember when we were 21 and 31 and 41. And I've got a couple of decades on you. So it's like at some point you say, it's never going to be a size 4 or a junior 7 again. Not ever. And that number from when I was 21, bye-bye. You know,
right.
you can fake it on your driver's license for a while because they don't really care.
Right.
But at some point, you accept the reality.
Right. But I think an important point that you've pointed out is you were really pleased. You got into this great routine with Teddy. You knew the amount of food. The scale was showing us the improvements. You're super happy. And then real life gets in the way. I mean, you know, and this is what pet owners all over the country have to deal with.
Yes.
All of a sudden, maybe they have a sick kid, or they have to go in to have this done or that done, or the holidays, or, and oops, I forgot to do that weigh-in. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we get sloppy a little bit because
yes.
it's hard. It's hard work to stay diligent like that. And you're also right that what once used to be the half cup, not a kibble more, not
right.
a
right.
bit more, you know, you're just like, oh, this is about right. Poof, and into the bowl
yes,
it goes.
Yes.
Not realizing kibble, again, to reiterate to everyone, I mean, kibble has a lot of calories.
Yep.
And even just an extra eighth of a cup or an extra quarter of a cup over a period of several weeks is going to make a significant calorie difference. And so even if life is busy and the scale maybe gets away from us for a few weeks, stay diligent to measuring accurately, because that is the first thing that is going to be a huge factor.
And you've really taught me and us this over the past months. And we just have to get used to that bowl that is emptier. And if you lift the bowl and it feels heavier, you should think, oops, I overdid it. You should
right.
actually pay attention, because
right.
there's measuring and then there's lifting it. And you can tell
right.
by looking at it and feeling it, does the bowl, you know, how does that bowl feel? And when I reduced the calories back down again, he got very aggressive about protecting his bowl again. It's like,
right.
wow, it's a fine line between, okay, that's enough.
Right.
And last night I had to give him three helpings of his zucchini.
Right.
You know, after he'd had his legal evening yogurt. Let's talk about Fritz, this darling Southern rescue pooch, who's now on the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge. He's received his Halo food. He loves it. His brother, who's finicky and picky, thinks it smells pretty good, too. One thing that he has embraced, Fritz has, is the boiled up zucchini as his snack. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they say the word zucchini. His mom, Holly, is thinking of videoing this. They say the word zucchini, and he does like a little tap dance, like Snoopy.
That's so funny, right.
Whereas the other dog, who watches all this excitement and is a finicky eater with no weight issue, he's actually been offered a spoonful of it, and he goes, what?
Right.
Boiled zucchini. Would you describe again, which we've done before, but until someone actually embraces the zucchini snack for appetite, people think they're supposed to do something exotic with the zucchini. Let's talk about how simple, cheap, and quick it is to make the zucchini snack.
Yeah, I mean, personally, and there are different, you can do it a couple different ways, but I mean, I just take the zucchini, I chunk it up. You know, if you get zucchini too finely diced and then boil it.
It disappears.
It just disappears.
Yes.
So I do quite, depending on the size of the dog, of course.
Right.
I do quite decent size
Me
chunks.
Me too.
You know, just cube it
yep.
big. And then I throw it into the pot with just a titch of water.
Yes.
And I almost blanch it, you know, which is just in and out. So it's got a little softer texture, but it's not mush. Because the whole point of zucchini is it really has a whole cup is like 15 to 20 calories. I mean, it doesn't have much calorie kick, but it's got a lot of fill. I mean, it's got,
yes.
you know, and so that's what why we're using. It's got good fiber and it's going to. They get that cup and they're like, whoa, I'm stuffed. You know, yeah, you're stuffed for an hour and a half.
Right. You
know,
like Chinese food.
Right. Exactly. So it's, you know, so we want to keep form to it. We don't want to boil it right down to nothing. If an owner is so inclined and if they can limit themselves, the other fun thing I do with it sometimes is actually flash saute it. When I say saute, I'm still just using that. You know, I'm not using sprays. I'm not using olive oil because, you know, that actually, you know, is
defeats the purpose.
But I just sort of saute it to give it just that little tiny brown, you know, some dogs like it that way. So I use both of those, you know, those methods, when I'm making it, but if, you know, not putting it in the blender, not doing anything too
right.
exact.
Which Holly had thought it was somehow meant to be like a baby food puree.
No.
And it's $2 a pound, which is mm-hmm. more expensive than frozen vegetables, which you can find at $1 a pound. But
right.
zucchini has this particular quality. I was sort of stupid and threw in some string beans of my own that just didn't look so nice anymore. And in order for them to be cooked enough to be interesting, the whole zucchini got overcooked, which
right.
meant that instead of one big soup pot filling up two or three containers, which I then freeze, it filled mm-hmm. one container. So it's like
right.
you can really see how it disappears.
Right.
And therefore, it doesn't give you the fill. And in a sense, you haven't gotten your money's worth out of it because
right.
you want it to stay whole. You also, right. we're not talking about cooking zucchini on a daily basis. We're talking about cooking it one time, keeping a container in the fridge. It stays good for at least a week. And then putting it in some Ziploc baggies or some other containers in the freezer. So you have many, many, many weeks mm-hmm. available to you.
Right.
And so that has really helped him.
And the other thing I've had clients do for even cheaper is, you know, you go to your local Farm and Fleet store or whatever you have in the summer and you plant your own little zucchini or, you know, garden. And then you make your, you know, you make it yourself. And you know, it's just cents on the dollar then. You know,
that's true. And in fact, one of the things that goes wacky in a home vegetable garden is zucchini. If you miss mm-hmm. one, a week goes by in hot weather if you're watering and the thing's the size of a baseball bat.
Right.
So those big ones, those big boys are the kind that we're talking about. Sometimes the right. supermarket has those as for stuffing or something, big ones that you'd never actually want to eat because they're kind of wooden-y inside.
Right.
Those are perfect. He really likes the Halo food. She has adhered to the exact quantities that you talked about and
mm-hmm.
eliminated both the big spoonful of very high-fat, high-calorie canned food, but she's using the Halo Spot Stew canned food, as you told her. Now,
mm-hmm.
tell everyone with Fritz's weight, just give a mental image of how much he's allowed at his two meals.
Yeah, he's eating a half a cup of the dry. So our goal is to get him close to the 40 pounds. So he's eating half a cup of the dry, and then he gets a full can a day.
Wow.
It's split into two meals, though. So he gets that And we have accounted for a couple little treats and then the zucchini. So the volume is far more than what he was getting because we're using a lower calorie dry food,
nice.
A lower calorie canned food. And the canned food we're using is has a lot of moisture in it, has a lot of water. So it's a bit, again, a larger volume. And then adding in the, 20 calorie a cup zucchini, to really give him the fill. Because that is the hardest thing when you're, when you're in the kitchen and you're making meals or,
yes.
when you would normally give a treat.
That's
and
right.
And these dogs are primed for it. They're ready. They're sitting there. You can't take a step around the kitchen or you're falling over
them.
Sort of. And, and I have my own dog like that, so I understand how that feels. That's when it's great to just have some zucchini in the fridge. You reach in, it's already, cooked
put
up.
Put some in his bowl.
And you put something in the bowl. If you like the bonding of handing a treat, great, hand him the zucchini. It's just nice
right.
to have that as an extra. Because, there's no food out there, dog food, dog treat, dog that you can give in that kind of volume as a fresh
without
vegetable.
Without raising the calorie
right.
value. So the good news before we go to a break is that he already lost 2 pounds in the first week. Now that's pretty amazing. And that's just from limiting the calories. So we love when any of our weight loss programs, when we get high drama right at the beginning, it's such a positive reinforcer,
Mm-hmm. Right.
So who knows? I mean, with humans, they say, well, that could just be water weight. I've never
right.
known what that meant. But in any case, the scale went down. So
right.
that's the really good news. When we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about Scoob, who's a 14-and-a-half-year-old quadruple cancer survivor that was talking to Dr. Sue and myself on the Pet Cancer Vet. And how food equaled love equaled a 100-pound dog that should be a 55-pound dog. And how she might join us as our next Halo Healthy Weight Challenge. We'll be right back after this word. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too. This show is also brought to you by the pheromone products Feel Away for Cats and Adaptil for Dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that create a signal of comfort in your pet's brain and are natural stress relievers that can help solve behavior problems and help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new home. Adaptil is good for dogs with travel or separation anxiety, and Feel Away can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Both Feel Away and Adaptil are available as a diffuser or a spray. We are back. You're listening to Dr. Donna Spector on The Expert Vet, and we're talking about the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge and how Fritz is on his way. The railroad track is laid, and now he's chugging along on it. So this doggy Scoob, I didn't know how overweight the dog was until I saw some pictures. And so when she was on the Pet Cancer Vet talking about this dog had sarcoma, all of it found by the owner in small pebble size, all of it operated mostly at Cornell. One thing was sarcoma, the next thing was melanoma, a very rare one. But she chose to have the melanoma vaccine, which was sort of her choice. Then mast cell. Oh, then two liver tumors, one of which was malignant, one benign. So this dog's been through a lot. Now he has laryngeal paralysis and is having trouble breathing. Can you talk a little about laryngeal paralysis? I had it in a dog who had trouble barking, and sometimes he would kind of cough and gag.
Yes.
And it kind of was like a high-pitched, almost a debarked dog. Can you talk about
right.
that and whether being fat has anything to do with it? And what is it exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So the laryngeal paralysis is actually a nerve disorder.
Okay.
There's a nerve that runs up the neck in a dog, and it's called the recurrent laryngeal nerve, but it's
okay.
a laryngeal nerve. And what happens is these dogs develop a nerve disorder. I mean, it's simple. It's called a neuropathy.
Okay.
We don't have a full understanding of why it happens, but there are certainly breeds that are predisposed to it. Labs, Goldens, these kind of dogs we
right.
often see. The nerve gradually loses its function. It's not necessarily inflamed. It's just a non-functional nerve. It can go along with thyroid disease. Hypothyroidism
oh.
is, so that's something, whenever we have a dog with laryngeal paralysis, we want to check them for hypothyroidism. because the thyroid condition can cause nerve dysfunction in a lot of nerves, but we can see it particularly in knowing how fatty is that, you know, there may be a connection there. But ultimately what happens as a result of this nerve dysfunction, that nerve is responsible for holding open the beginning of the windpipe. It's called the larynx.
Okay.
So when you're active and you're breathing in and trying to get all sorts of oxygen and air in through your windpipe, that little larynx is just sort of flapping in the breeze. It's not, and a lot of times it's just one side. There's two sides of this opening.
Okay.
And many times there's just a one-sided paralysis. So the one side of the windpipe is essentially bobbling in the breeze, you know.
In a good way.
But these dogs often can't get in enough oxygen, so they tend to cough, they gag.
Right.
They make this noise, this kind of roaring.
Yes.
Or they're struggling to breathe when they are really active. Then when they're down trying to drink and eat, the larynx should be closed, completely closed.
Right.
Because it's the opening of the windpipe. If you're swallowing water, you need the windpipe to be closed.
Right.
But again, that nerve is dysfunctional, so it doesn't allow the windpipe to fully close. So they can get a little bit of water or food in their windpipe. So then they cough and they gag to get it out of there.
And that would happen with my Billy Blue. And I used to think I'd have to do the Heimlich maneuver on him. I thought it's because he was eating too quickly, which he probably was. He was a food nut.
Well,
but so now I know why. He would almost right. choke on the food, like you need a Heimlich maneuver.
Right, but eating quickly is a risk factor. If you don't have a windpipe that's
right.
closed completely, then eating fast is going to be dangerous.
Right.
But then, just like, let's think of maybe, just so our audience can relate, you know, men or women that have like the sleep apnea,
yes.
you know, where you, and especially if you're heavy around the neck.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I'd always heard.
If you carry a lot of weight and everything, I mean, the same is true with one of these dogs. If they're affected by laryngeal paralysis and they have a lot of fat in their neck, that's just extra pressure. Fat equals pressure.
Yes.
And so now not only is the opening of the windpipe not working correctly, then they have all that fat there so that when they're sleeping or resting, all that fat is just pressing in on that
dysfunctional
nerve.
right
and so often again they cough, they gag, they sometimes even vomit at night because they're sleeping very heavily, they get saliva down their windpipe, blah, 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 you know, wake
right.
up and cough and gag. So it's you know, so yes, weight plays a role in making the signs worse. It's not actually causing the disease,
right.
but it does make it worse.
That's really interesting. So this dog has a lot of reasons to need to join our healthy weight challenge, because at 14 and a half, she's got him on all kinds of great supplements. She's got him on fish oil. She's got him for his pain of arthritis on gabapentin, the things we'll talk about next week.
Well, and the other thing I want to quickly mention is carrying excess fat in your abdomen, so inside the abdomen, is a risk factor for certain cancers.
Yes.
So
and
we know it's hormonally active.
Yes.
And so it's a risk factor for intra-abdominal cancer.
And we know that he's already a guy who has survived 4 different kinds of cancer. So we want him to be a lean machine. And she, by her own admission, is showering him with love by home cooking. And she said,
right.
I said, I need you to make a very honest list for Dr. Donna to see if we think he'll be a great candidate for the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge mm-hmm. of every single thing that passes his lips. And I'm sure it's pretty impressive. She said, you'll drop off your chair if you see the list. Like right now, I have a roast in the crock pot for him. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, baby. I don't have any roast in the crock pot for my own family.
Right.
So she is not counting calories at all, and goodness only knows what else is going in him. But
right.
What I was wondering was when I said, you know, please don't be offended by this. We all get defensive about our dogs and ourselves or our children. If someone says, gee, that's a big kid or a big dog or whatever, we have to admit, yeah, I guess bigger than they should be. And she said, well, I just have to tell you that I've been told that he's carrying 15 to 20, I don't know if she said pounds or percent of his weight, in lipomas, fatty
mm-hmm.
growths. I said, well, yeah, but those are fat. So I'm wondering if, and I don't know if there's been any study or if this would just be your opinion, if a dog is too fat, which so many of our dogs are, does that fat sometimes migrate into blobs, which are fatty tumors, lipomas? Is that a way that the body is storing the fat that is so excess that it has nowhere else to put it?
No, not typically.
Okay.
But if a dog has lipomas, you know, even small ones that you may not even see, excess weight is in the extra fat is going to go into those pre-existing areas.
So it makes them bigger.
It makes them bigger. So, if, I mean, fat dogs have bigger, fatter lipomas.
Yes.
And when they start to lose weight, those lipomas often do decrease in size.
Cool. That was really what I was asking. The fat didn't cause a lipoma, but it will certainly use it as a deposit.
As a depot, yes.
A depot, yeah. Also, Dr. Sue called laryngeal paralysis LARPAR. And I just love to hear all of your vet terms for stuff.
Yes.
I'm like, that's so cool. Like, I knew somebody once who had a house in the Dominican Republic, a fancy British lady. And someone at the table was saying something about the Dominican Republic. And she said, oh, I love the Dom Rep. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the Dom Rep. So I sort of feel that way about LARPAR.
Yes.
It makes us feel like we're at that cutting edge of knowledge when we can refer to laryngeal paralysis that way.
Right.
Well, this is a really good thing to know. Very good if anybody has dogs that are overweight and carrying much of it in their throat and sort of neck area. Mm-hmm. Another reason to listen, you can join the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge. You don't have to have Dr. Donna hold your paw through the whole thing. You can just swap whatever kibble you're on, including me, who used to be on normal Halo, to the healthy weight kibble because it's much lower in fat and calories and just made of just as good ingredients, which is obviously a really wonderful selling point. We've run out of time. I hope that Scoob, the cancer survivor, might join us the next time, but we're going to stay on top of Fritz and his progress and hope that some of the rest of you will embrace zucchini. Too bad the Zucchini Council can't come and get on our show and extol the virtues of their vegetable. The zucchini probably doesn't have a press representative. We will be back next week. We're going to readdress pain because I know that we've only begun to scratch the surface of that. Dr. Donna, thanks so much, as always, for your time and wisdom. And we will talk again next week.
Take care.
Hello, I'm Ellen DeGeneres, like the one from TV. And if you love your animals as much as I love mine, you'll feed them Halo pet food. It's so good, the National Canine Cancer Foundation awarded my company, Halo, its first ever seal of excellence. So do what's best for your pet and feed them Halo.
Halo, the number one selling natural pet food brand, using only real meat, never any meals. Halo is available at Petco, Whole Foods Market, and your local pet specialty or natural food store. Visit HaloPets.com.